Robbie Sherman is proud to present our new episode with Dylan's First Run Features. Introduce yourself, gentlemen.
Hello, my name is Dylan, Dylan's First Run Features. Can you speak up a little bit? Yeah. hello, I am Dylan of Dylan's First Run Features.
And I am Ryan of Dylan's First Run Features.
You have a up-and-coming new podcast. The podcast you had before, Ryan, it got a little bit of buzz, and you decided to start this one up with your son. And yeah. I really enjoyed that podcast when it was in progression. Me and your friend Chuck had an episode on Fritz the Cat that I needed to take down for just a number of reasons that are way too complicated to go into here. And I'm really happy you decided to start up a new podcast focusing on film as well. And having your son, who's such a young guy and experiencing a lot of film for the first time, be a part of your podcast is very novel.
Yeah, we wanted to do something to where we watch a movie. He watches a movie for the first time. I may have already seen it, but he watches a movie for the first time, whether it be something new or classic or obscure or whatever. And then we talk about it. So far we're starting off really well. I think our next episode will be American Werewolf in London, which will hopefully be out sometime next week. So yeah.
Probably the only good thing John Landis has ever brought into the
I mean, he had the Blues Brothers and he had, you know, Animal House. So he has Coming to America. Those were good, but
yeah. Animal House, it's a little waning nowadays for a lot of reasons, but it's still fine. Yeah, I think it's still fine. Yeah. You guys talked about Prisoners, which is a movie I still have not circled back around to, but Hugh Jackman, what an actor, huh? Like, there's a guy with a lot of commitment. Yeah, what are your other favorite Hugh Jackman films, if I may ask?
You got any?
You got to think about that for a minute, don't you?
If I had to say anything, I would just say Logan, because that is my personal favorite superhero movie of all time.
I feel like you're going for very personal films with your podcast anyways, so I like that you pick Logan, because I think that's such a great example of what a serious superhero movie can actually be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really wasn't a big fan of his until Prisoners. I thought, you know, what I'd seen prior to that was okay, but he didn't really wow me as an actor until that movie. But I did like him in The Prestige quite a bit, which is something we're going to hopefully cover one of these days. But
cool.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I have never sat through The Prestige either. I think my favorite Hugh Jackman film is Bad Education, a Netflix original movie that came out. And it's all about this principal who creates these little projects where he's just funneling money into the school that he's spending on himself. And it's all about like how this one student journalist completely knocks his whole empire down. And it's fascinating to watch. It's a great film. It's an incredibly committed performance for him.
Yeah.
Good film. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's incredibly, it's a great film. It's probably one of the last few films I've seen where I was like, yeah, this is a 4 out of 4 stars, 5 out of 5 stars, however you want to grade it, film. Yeah, excellent film.
Good.
What other films are you planning on doing with your podcast?
Some of you. Yeah.
Can you give me a preview, please?
Absolutely, yes. So, as we said, our third episode is going to be an American Werewolf in London. Our fourth episode is going to be an American in Paris. Our fifth episode is going to be Rosemary's Baby. And our 15th episode, just to skip a lot, it's going to be our first like major episode where we do something that is massive. And it's the Godfather trilogy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Godfather trilogy. That is a massive thing.
Yeah.
Even if maybe we could possibly cut a third of that tail off, arguably. But that's an argument for another time.
One hour to Pacino is going to be a lot. So
yeah.
Paramount did the series recently about The Godfather, and it's all centered from the...
The Offer.
The Offer, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and... God, did you guys watch that? Did you go through that?
Probably going to watch it in preparation.
Yeah, if you're doing The Godfather in the show, you have to watch this. It was incredible. I don't know how like biased it is or however, you know, because this is like from the producer's personal musings and like thoughts from the time that he was doing this and like the things that happened to him when he was doing this. So there may be a little bit of personal bias. That guy also worked on a Ralph Bakshi film that I covered earlier in my podcast. He's a real fascinating character. Yeah. he went from working on a movie that sentimentalizes the mafia to a movie that completely puts them down. Yeah, Albert Ruddy, interesting fellow.
Yeah.
what are you most looking forward to trying to accomplish with your podcast?
Just watching movies and talking about them.
We just sharing love of movies in general, I think. You know, he's really jumped headfirst into movies. It's his passion already, which is, as a father, makes me very happy. Because it's my passion too, so you know we get to share all these new experiences together, and you know they're going to be movies that neither one of us have seen that we're going to jump into, and that's going to be fun. So far I've seen everything that before he's seen it, but I'm looking forward to doing movies where neither one of us have seen it that we can really, you know, both experience it together at the same time. So, but yeah, just sharing love of movies. That's all we really care to do here.
Totally, and that's perfectly respectable. I didn't mean to make that sound like such a monumental.
Oh no, no, no!
No. Just trying to.
I had to think about it. I was like, "What are we trying to accomplish here?"
Just trying to make a light conversation. I'm apparently doing a terrible job at it.
No, you're not.
Anyways. Like you do talk about, you know, really just expressing a love of movies. And Dylan, I know at a young age you already have a pretty okay knowledge of cult films. Do you have like any particular B movies you've been coming across that you want to cover?
That's a great question. I'd really have to think about that one. But I love pretty much any film that I can come across, because I just love movies. It's really fascinating to watch older ones to see what they could improve upon if they did it nowadays, and they could, they could make just a little bit better. It's just fascinating to watch movies and to just take it all in as you watch them.
Totally. From the episodes you had joined your dad on from the All Night Drive-In, I really thought you did a good job like pointing out themes and things that were happening in the film that other people might not have looked forward to. Are you a fan of the Roger Corman school at all?
A little bit. If we're gonna do anything though, I'm really excited to do stuff like The Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, oh, really? Okay, so you're a trauma guy. You like that kind of satire.
I love to experience really like trashy B movies and just see them for the first time. It's interesting.
There's unfortunately not enough hours in the day for us to watch all the movies we want to watch. You know, we need like an extra day of the week where we can just sit down and watch, you know, all kinds of different stuff, because there's a lot of, you know, great movies from the 60s and 70s I'd like to show in. There's a lot of, you know, exploitation films, blaxploitation films. There's, you know, just plenty of different genres of movie where I'd like to show him. And he, you know, really is interested in learning all about them too. So.
Yeah, I particularly enjoy a lot of blaxploitation films because I find it fascinating to see, so many people who are struggling for identity, trying to create identity with the limited tools are sometimes given in those films. Yeah. And a lot of those filmmakers like Mario Van Peebles, they accomplished things that were, looking back on it now, very interesting and progressive in ways that were not appreciated at the time and were written off as trash. It's a
damn
shame a lot of those films had to spend so long to just be appreciated for the works of art they were.
mean, they can come off as kind of goofy at times, but if you really watch them closely and listen to them, there's a message in every single one of them.
Yeah,
you know, it's more than just, you know, some silly B movie. There's some heart in there too. So you just have to watch for it.
Totally. My friend, Mr. Ray from A Nightmare on Fear Street, she went over Sugar Hill with her podcast. And that is a film that is simultaneously like horrifying and goofy.
Yeah.
It's like, it's on that fun, like Scooby-Doo line. And I consider it like the good Scooby-Doo line, like Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah. Not Scooby with the Globetrotters or.
No, we don't talk about that time. It was a bad time. Scooby-Doo and the gang. The gang wasn't even there. Well, okay. That was one of them with the gang, but there are many of them where it's just like Scooby and Shaggy and people who are not the gang.
Right, exactly.
We stand Green Shirt Shaggy on this show. Do you understand, gentlemen?
That's right.
Dylan, are you also into like thrillers and things like that? You were talking about Francis Ford Coppola's work a second ago. He has a great film called The Conversation. Have you ever been through that?
Yeah, I've heard of it. They covered it on their podcast a while back, and I've never gotten to see it, but I am very excited to cover anything that Francis Ford Coppola has done, because it's just...
Wow. I've already covered it once on the old show, but I have a feeling it's one we could probably cover on ours too, just because of how intricate that movie really is, you know?
Yeah.
The things that they do with audio in that movie and the acting is just, I think he would really dig it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I hope you get around to it soon. It's a very great film. Just out of curiosity, Dylan, do you have any animation that you're looking forward to getting into?
Brave of the Fireflies.
Really? Oh, yeah. Great film.
That's really the only anime I have any desire to watch, because I personally am not a big fan of anime.
It's perfectly okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to be if you don't want to be, buddy.
Yeah.
His sister, oddly enough, is into it, and she doesn't really like movies that much, but she's really getting into... Was that Attack of the Titan?
Attack on Titan.
Yeah, I won't like watch that. That guy who made that is like a full-on fascist in Japan.
Oh, really?
From what I understand, he supports like a back to basics fascist party that wants to take Japan like pre-Westernization. Which I see why like some people in Japan will want to do that, because we just kind of like walked in and said, "Fuck y'all, we're kind of making you join us and hang out with us." But anyways,
maybe I should make my daughter stop watching that. Don't want her turning into a fascist on me.
I don't know how bad that is incorporated into the show. I don't know. It's a show about My Hero Academia. It's a show about superheroes. So yeah. Oh no, you were talking about Attack on Titan. That's written by another fascist. Forgive me.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, that's a great film to pick, because I think that's such a historically significant anime film. There are probably very few anime films that are regarded with such reverence and given such quality of drama too. I would also recommend, if you check out that film and you like it, but you want something maybe slightly more lighthearted, but not like leery or disgusting. Lupin the Third, Castle of Cagliostro is a really fantastic like adventure film. It's the directorial debut of Hayao Miyazaki, the head of Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, I've heard of that one before. That one sounds fascinating.
It's probably the only thing most people know Lupin the Third from, actually, in this country, like, unless you're an anime weeb, which I've been spending too much time with that damn show. It's like a wormhole. Are you guys going to cover any TV at all, just out of curiosity?
Later on, we're going to be talking about Hannibal Lecter and all of his movies, and we might actually end up discussing Hannibal as a part of that.
Great. Yeah, that's a big series to go through, and there's a lot to parse out in there. I have never been through the last couple of those, but of course there's room to explore, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say about that.
Yeah,
I kind of like that you keep your podcast under 20 minutes, just like a nice little sound bite, generally around 20 minutes.
Yeah,
when we were putting it together, I told him, I was like, now look, we could do it like I used to do on the All Night Drive-In Picture Show, and I said, you know, we could cover the movie from top to bottom. I was like, but if we do shorter episodes, then we can crank out more episodes, you know, so we can
totally.
And you know, there's members of his family, of our family, I should say, because you're my son. There's members of our family that want to listen to it too, but I don't want to make them listen to something for, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours if they don't want to listen to it.
Yeah.
But 20 minutes, you know, that's a good bite-sized episode for anybody to listen to. And you know, like I said, there's so many movies we want to cover that if we can have shorter episodes, maybe we can put more of them out, you know, in quicker succession. So.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And it also makes you be a little more succinct, which I've been very much seeing the advantage of that from putting out my podcast the last couple of years. I've been trying to get my episodes around an hour at the most, but that Gay Paris episode almost went to about 2 hours, and that was even with like extensive editing.
Yeah.
That if neither one of you have checked that out yet, I highly recommend it, because even though the music might be a little bit overwhelming, the argument for the music I would make is that you should listen to it through headphones, because in just a room from a TV, you'll never be able to hear the proper separation of the instruments. And I think that really helped my viewing a lot too. And I recently I've been thinking like I should only like view television shows through my headphones so I can hear the stereo imaging properly.
Yeah.
What's a, let me ask you something. When you're going through a film, what's the one thing you want to piece down about it that you would determine it as a good film?
Script. Yeah, script, for sure. Which is funny because, I mean, I love some movies with bad scripts too, you know, and he does as well. But,
oh, yeah.
But really, we both love, really, we love great writing, you know. Chuck, my former co-host of the All Night Drive-In Picture Show, he really turned me on to great cinematography. It's like I always, you know, I always enjoyed watching a movie that looked pretty, but you know, he really helped me figure out what to look for, and then Dylan is the same way now. You know, he's really looking for this, that, and the other when we're watching a movie now, and he's really got a good eye for it. So, you know, script, cinematography, acting, that's, you know, that's what I look for primarily. What about you?
Like, if it's a movie that looks like it's going to be cheesy, then obviously I'm going to look for, you know, just a good time and nothing else, because, you know, the acting may not be great, but at least you're having a good time.
Right.
If we're watching a movie that's been like critically acclaimed and just super hyped up for maybe an Oscar or something like that, I'm going to look for, you know, more intense things like script, cinematography, acting, and directing, and other things that may coincide with it.
Yeah, I think all that is really necessary for evaluating a film on the whole. I try to think not only about script when I do my episodes on full-on movies, I try to think about the overall impact that the cinematography and the acting together helps propel a script, even a mediocre script, into something more as a film. And you've already picked one film that a lot of people would argue, which I haven't gotten around to see it. These are just like critical evaluations I saw when it came out. But a lot of people were arguing that central like mystery is flawed, but at the same time, it's such a powerfully acted film with everyone involved. Jake Gyllenhaal is also a part of that, isn't he?
Yeah,
great actor. He did a film called Night Stalker. I think that's
all. Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler. Okay, it's been
a while. Yeah, we love that movie.
I watched it. Yeah, it's a good movie. Really good movie.
Yeah.
I have a copy of it on Blu-ray somewhere around here. I need to give that back to my buddy. It's been like 4 years.
That character is just chilling. He's so intense and just he's almost hard to watch. He's so intense at times, you know?
Yeah. And I've known people that can be like this intimidating while also being polite, while also not necessarily being threatening. Like it's something to watch.
Yeah.
Especially the scenes where they have him doing those like steady cam walks and then you see him actually in the crime scene. I think that's one of the best ways to critique the whole news operation, like the news operations where you have like these action news things and they go in and they like really probably overstep their boundaries to show you footage that is intensely graphic, and to actually like place yourself as an outside purveyor and for the director to actually make you see the crime he's committing outside of his perspective and outside of the other camera helps bring home how like disgusting and intense his character's actions are. And he's doing them without any, he is nervous, but he's also thrilled by the nervous quality it brings out in him. Yeah. It's wonderful performance. I'm glad we could bring it up actually.
Yeah, definitely. Circling back to what makes a good movie, Dylan really does love a good score in a movie, too. It's kind of funny because I forget what movie we were watching, but when it was over, he's like, well, that movie was garbage, but the score was awesome.
Totally. I'll just say this real quick. Part of getting out of my like Ralph Bakshi love is that I think part of it was the music I like so much about his films. Mm-hmm. And like... He just has like really great ways to place music with his animation. And looking back, like I did Heavy Traffic with The Harbor, and that's the last Ralph Bakshi film I'll ever do with anyone. But I think the music and the way the sound effects work in that film help propel it forward in a way that it almost doesn't even deserve, because the story is so like obviously thin, like but because it has these effects and this music so carefully placed and they all like bounce off of each other just enough to create a dynamic effect, it becomes greater than the sum of its parts.
Absolutely. Yes. Have you ever seen Annihilation?
I love that film.
Yeah,
I've seen that a couple of times and every time it's just so incredible. But it kind of has a weird, like, non-story thing going on. Yeah. Where they're just walking through a forest and it's just alien mutations in the forest.
You know, part of what he and I both love about that movie is the score. And it's the score of that movie is it's like if you take industrial rock and combine it with classical music. And it's, it sounds a lot like, you know, something Trent Reznor would put out. But just the way at the end of the movie where she's, you know, not to spoil anything, but she's having the dance with the alien, and that music that plays is almost like it's being played backward. And that's so, that's just eerie. And that scene's eerie in general, but when you add that score to it, it just makes it so much creepier.
Is there another film you might like to mention, Dylan, while we're on the subject of scoring?
Ooh, there are so many great scores out there. One in particular that I do absolutely adore, because it is both one of my favorite horror movies of all time and just has one of my favorite scores, is Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that's such a complicated production, but it's a chilling movie for me every time I've gone through it.
Still holds up. We saw it in the theater a couple weeks ago at one of those Fathom events, and it was a Turner Classic Movies presentation, and it was a really clean copy of it. And it was so great to see it on a big screen. It was awesome.
That sounds, absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Speaking of the big screen, I got lucky and I got to see Clerks 3.
Did you?
A couple of weeks ago. And I got to see that in a theater by myself with my buddy. And okay, the movie was fine. Like, there was just a lot of stuff in it that I thought maybe could have been done better. And like, I always feel like sometimes Kevin Smith is taking the easy way out and letting his actors get along with easy improv humor. But at the same time, he created a sense of drama that was impressive when it got the right spots. And he melded elements of the View Askew universe throughout the first two Clerks films into this in a way that was organic and paid off in plot momentum. And that stuff is what makes Kevin Smith an actual, like, good filmmaker.
Yeah.
I think he spent a little too long as a filmmaker kind of becoming the cool, like, pot dude that makes dirty jokes. And
yeah,
Clerks 3, with all that and with the intro where it was basically just Kevin Smith on the screen telling you, hey, thanks for coming to my movie. Thanks for making this happen. Because you bought so many copies of the movie beforehand, I was able to make this movie. And this movie is a film that like encapsulates my whole career. And I have to thank you, the viewer, and all these other people who work on my films. And that created an intimacy in a film I've never had before. I've never gone to like a theater where like the filmmaker is literally looking at me and almost no one else, like just me and my buddy there, and they're actually personally thanking me for giving them my $10.
Right. Yeah, I enjoy the majority of his movies. I think as a filmmaker, he's kind of gone downhill, you know, over the years. And I don't know if Pot's to blame for that or not. You know, you pointed out that, you know, you pointed out that he, you know, he's a pothead now. And if you listen to him talk for even 5 minutes, he'll make sure he points that out to you. So
it's not the worst thing ever, but yeah, it does become a little old, you know,
very old.
It's like looking at Frank Zappa when his like Uncle Frank persona went bad. And I feel like Kevin Smith stuck in that kind of thing for just a little too long. But Clerks 3 is a solid Kevin Smith film. If yeah, you're a Kevin Smith fan, it's good. I'm interested to see what he might come up with, assuming it doesn't star his and somebody else's daughter.
No kidding.
Gentlemen, it looks like our time is about up, but why don't you tell us where we can find your podcast and whatever else you'd like to say while you have the time.
Good. So to find our podcast, you can just look anywhere you find podcasts. Unfortunately, we're not on YouTube, but we are everywhere else. And
our social media is at Dylan's FRF for First Term Features. So Dylan's FRF, Twitter, Instagram. Is that what it is on TikTok too?
Yeah.
TikTok, Facebook, all that stuff. And like you said, about every podcatcher around. We're not on YouTube intentionally because I like to play a little bit of music in there, and YouTube doesn't like it when you play music, apparently. So we're just
on YouTube.
It's so lame, man.
Yeah. So lame. I don't use it like at all anymore. I've been using Anchor, and it isn't my favorite, but for where I'm at the moment, it's kind of good. I want to get on Linksys so I can get like people really able to just download my podcast, and then I can get download statistics. Thank you so much for coming on, gentlemen. It's been a
pleasure. Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. You're welcome on anytime. If you want to try to cover a movie on the show sometime, let me know.
Yeah.
Be a good time.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night.